From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, March 16th, 2026.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 26 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
The field of party-affiliated candidates running for Maine governor in the June primary election has come into focus following today's deadline to qualify for the ballot. Steve Missler has more.
A total of 13 candidates will appear on the primary ballot, 8 Republicans and 5 Democrats. Each is vying for their party's nomination to replace Governor Janet Mills in this year's midterm election. The Democrats include politically experienced candidates, former Maine Senate President Troy Jackson, former House Speaker Hannah Pingree, and current Secretary of State Shana Bellows. Angus King III, the son of U.S. Senator Angus King, and Nirav Shah, Maine's former CDC director, also made the ballot. The Republicans include a mix of newcomers and the politically connected. Former Maine Senate leader Garrett Mason, State Senator Jim Libby, Bobby Charles, an attorney and head of a D.C.-based lobbying firm, and Jonathan Bush, nephew of the late President George H.W. Bush. Robert Wessels, Benjamin Midley, Owen McCarthy, and David Jones are among the newcomers. The primary election will be held June 9th. The deadline for independent candidates to qualify for the November ballot is June 1st. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And 7 Democrats have qualified to run in the June 9th Maine primaries for U.S. Senate and Maine's 2nd Congressional District. Kevin Miller has more.
As expected, Governor Janet Mills and oyster farmer Graham Plattner will both compete in the closely watched Democratic primary for Maine's U.S. Senate seat. David Costello, a Brunswick Democrat who ran for Senate in 2024, is also on the ballot. Republican Senator Susan Collins has no primary opponent. 4 Democrats are vying to succeed 2nd District Congressman Jared Golden, who opted not to run again. Matt Dunlap is a former Secretary of State and the current state auditor. State Senator Joe Baldacci of Bangor is the brother of former governor and Congressman John Baldacci. Jordan Wood is a Lewiston native who spent years working on Capitol Hill, and Paige Loud of Bangor is a social worker. The winner faces former Governor Paula Page, who is unopposed in the Republican primary. In Maine's 1st District, Congresswoman Shelley Pingree is unopposed in the Democratic primary. But 2 Republicans, Ronald Russell and Joshua Petrowitz, are on the GOP ballot. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
As many immigrant families sheltered at home during the January ICE surge and some businesses closed, retail sales fell by over $3 million in some of Maine's largest metro areas. According to a new estimate from the Maine Center for Economic Policy, a progressive advocacy group, policy analyst James Miles says he used student absentee data as an indicator of how many families were staying home over a 10-day period in the Portland, Lewiston, and Biddeford-Saco areas.
If that many kids are staying home from school, what did that mean for kind of adults in the broader community who might not be going out and buying groceries or getting their hair cut or filling up the gas tank or whatever it might be?
Miles says it's difficult to pinpoint precise numbers at such a granular scale, but that the broader toll of lost economic activity during the surge could be somewhere between $10 and $20 million. Neighbors of a planned natural gas power plant in Portland are raising concerns about pollution and noise from the facility. As Peter McGuire reports, resistance to the project is ramping up as state regulators consider whether to treat the project as a public utility.
Maggie Wolf says a 10-megawatt plant at the Portland Foreside development conflicts with city and state climate goals.
Even though it's considered, you know, a transitional to clean energy, it locks us into fossil fuels, whereas the state will be renewable by 2040.
Wolf and other neighbors say the proposal is a major deviation from plans approved by the city. It would require building 4 smokestacks more than 114 feet tall. Developers PF Land LLC say the plant will provide efficient heat and power to the $1 billion project on the city's east end. The Maine Public Utilities Commission holds a hearing Tuesday to start reviewing whether to regulate the plant as a utility. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
A former Maine Department of Corrections official has pleaded guilty to theft and bribery charges as part of a plea agreement with the Maine Attorney General's office. Gerald Merrill, who served as deputy superintendent of the Mountain View Correctional Center in Charleston and Downey's Correctional Facility in Machiasport, is accused of spending more than $2 million of state funds to purchase products from certain vendors in exchange for illegal kickbacks to his personal accounts over the course of a decade. A spokesperson for the AG's office says, as part of the settlement, Merrill has agreed to serve 5 years in prison with 3 years probation and to pay restitution that will be determined by the court. Merrill's sentencing is scheduled for May 12th. And gasoline prices continue to climb as the war in Iran continues. The average price of regular in Maine is now $3.58 a gallon, according to AAA. That's 17 cents higher than 1 week ago and nearly 70 cents more than the per gallon average last month. According to AAA, the average price per gallon in Maine is slightly lower than the national average, which is $3.71. The price of oil is holding above $100 a barrel today as the war in Iran enters a third week. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, a state politics update. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.